Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Now, from the Star Rental Sports Desk, your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
All right, here we go. Happy MLK Day Monday right here on Softy and Dick. Headlines are brought to you by our friends, of course, over at VenueKings.com.
Suck the Kraken's tentacle.
You know what I miss, by the way, about MLK Day is all the old high school basketball tournaments we used to have back in the day. Just filling up Key Arena or heck yeah, all day long with high school basketball. Can we do that next year? Hopefully, knock on wood, get those back. NFL football reports say the Lions are planning on hiring Saints tight end coach assistant head man Dan Campbell as their new head coach. Chargers hired Brandon Staley, the Rams DC, over the weekend as their new guy. That means there's only two jobs open in the NFL, Texans and Philadelphia with the Eagles.
49ers have promoted run game coordinator Mike McDaniel to offensive coordinator. The Bucs have designated former Husky Vita Vea for return for this week for the injured reserve.
Who hired Mike McDaniel again, you said? Who was that?
Promoted the Niners.
Oh. Can you feel it now?
Husky basketball losing streak is now at 8 after a 5-point loss to UCLA on Saturday. Next up, Colorado Wednesday, 5:30 pre, 6 p.m. at tip-off here on KJR.
Wide receiver Chris Olave not headed to the NFL. He will return to Ohio State for another season, but he will not have his quarterback as Justin Fields says, I'm going to the NFL.
And we got NFL football on Sunday. Final Four is set. 3:40 Bills in Kansas City. 12:05 Tampa at Green Bay. How about if you're Kevin Harlan? Kevin Harlan's got a house in Green Bay and a house in Kansas City. He could have called either game he wanted to call and walked to the game from his house. Either one. And he's calling the Green Bay game. He's calling the Tampa Green Bay game for Westwood One at 12:05. If Tampa Bay wins, they'll become the first team ever to play in the Super Bowl in their home stadium. Remember, the Vikings had that chance a couple years ago when they were playing in Minnesota, and they got, I believe, hammered in the NFC title game.
The Niners played in Palo Alto, correct? I believe Joe Montana against Dan Marino was in Palo Alto.
Yes, I believe.
So not home stadium, obviously.
No,
but,
not home stadium. Right. Yeah, different story. Right. But Tampa's got a shot. They got a shot to win this weekend and play the game in their own park. So Grant Cohen, you know who Grant Cohen is, right?
Yeah.
Covers the 49ers for Now Sports Illustrated. This guy right here.
You guys had what, Milner?
He was writing over the weekend about this cap percentages around the NFL and what these guys are making, and I found it interesting that the 2020 cap percentages of the remaining quarterbacks in the NFL playoffs as of right now in the final four, Patrick Mahomes is at 2.5% because he's still on his original rookie deal.
Right.
Josh Allen is at 2.7%, still on his original rookie deal. Aaron Rodgers is at 10.6, and Tom Brady is at 12.2. Russell Wilson this year was at 15.6 of the Seahawks salary cap. You know as well as I, the last guy to win with a salary cap percentage over 13% was Steve Young 26 years ago, in 94 when the 49ers won, I believe, against Denver, hammered them in the Super Bowl. So it's been quite a while since a guy has done that, and I guess I'm just kind of still thinking about this because Millen brought this point up. When Russell Wilson signed his contract, that, hey, look, if Russell Wilson really desperately wants to win another Super Bowl, and this is the most important thing, is it unfair to say, well, then why don't you take a little less and open things up so you can go out and sign some free agents and make some moves? And, you know, look, the cap may go down next year. There's some people think the NFL salary cap may drop to about $175, $180 million, which would make Russell Wilson's number next year even higher. Is there any of us at all concerned moving forward that if Russell Wilson eventually does not take a little bit of a discount in Seattle, that they can never win another championship with him taking up that big a percentage of the cap?
No, I don't think so. I think if you're around that 15%, I think you're still okay. Now, if the cap goes way down, all of a sudden Russell's taking 18, 19, 20, then you're in trouble. I don't think it was really a talent issue with this team this year. I mean, I look at this team, and I look at the teams that I'm seeing playing this weekend. I just do not. It wasn't a talent gap. I don't look at these teams and say, "Wow, they are just way better across the board than the Seahawks." I think it was a scheme issue, and I think it was also an issue where they could not get the two sides of their football team playing well at the same time this year.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting you bring that up because there's a lot of folks that believe that it's not a talent issue and that it is a talent issue. Meaning, you got the quarterback, you got the wide receivers, you got the running backs, you got the secondary, you got the linebackers, mm-hmm. your pass rush was significantly better than it was a year ago, but your offensive line is still a problem.
But it was still a top 10 offensive line pass blocking this year, according to PFF.
What about run blocking? What about everything else? Did you see a pass? Did you see to your eyes, which are now sharper than they've ever been because of Dr. Sharp? You're not wearing glasses anymore. You're not cleaning your eyes out with your contact fluid the way you were in the hotel 20 years ago. When you watch the Packers offensive line protect for Aaron Rodgers against the Rams this weekend, did you see an offensive line that was superior to what we had a week ago against the Rams?
A week ago, of course, yes. But that's because the Packers decided to do something that we wanted the Seahawks to do all along, and that is run the ball at the Rams right down their throat. They ran the ball for 5 yards a carry and, what, over 160, 170 yards? They balanced their offensive attack, and the Seahawks decided, we got Chris Carson and Carlos Hyde, but we're really not going to use them. We'll use them as a secondary or a tertiary option, but we're not really going to use them. Meanwhile, the Packers said, we got A.J. Dillon, we got James Williams, we got Aaron Jones, and we are going to slam it right down your freaking throat. And that's exactly what they did, and that's why they won.
Yeah. I mean, I get that, you know, and I thought the play calling by the Packers was much better than what the Seahawks did. And I thought the Packers took advantage of what the Seahawks did. I thought the Packers looked at the Seahawk game plan and said, yeah, we're not doing that. We're doing something
exactly.
else. But I still believe that the Seahawk offensive line, and this is kind of where, you know, we always like to say about Pro Football Focus, you just quoted their rankings. I believe you're quoting Pro Football Focus. Maybe it was somebody else's metrics you're talking about. That Pro Football Focus is not the end-all be-all.
Right.
PFF can give you a little bit of a guide. I think in the end that this Seahawk offensive line was getting shoved around by the Rams last weekend. I thought Mike Iupati looked old. I thought Damian Lewis was having problems. I thought Ethan Posick looked like an average center. In that game, Brandon Shell at times looked okay. Dwayne Brown looked like he's 35 years old, which is exactly what he is. I still think that this Seahawk offensive line needs a pretty damn big upgrade. And maybe they can overcome that with better play calling. Maybe better scheming. Maybe quicker passes. Maybe more creativity on offense can overcome some of that. But it's interesting that you say as long as they're around 15%, they should be okay. History says that's not the case. History says for 20 now 7 years in a row, you cannot win a championship with a quarterback taking up that kind of percentage of your salary cap. So once again, we are asking the Seahawks to do that something that nobody since 1994 has done. And so look, again, is it unfair for anybody out there? Aaron Rodgers is not making as much money as he could. Tom Brady is not making as much money as we could. Hell, there's been years, the last 3 or 4 years with the Patriots, where Tom Brady was like the 13th or 14th highest paid quarterback in the NFL. Yet he wins championships. He's, you know, every 3 years, the guy's winning a title. So is it totally ridiculous for someone to go to Russell Wilson, even a media member, to say, dude, if you want to win, why don't you take a pay cut?
No, it's not out. I mean, especially now in this next contract coming up. I think the first one where, okay, he hasn't really made the big, big, big money yet. It's tough to tell him to take a pay cut there. Mm-hmm. But after now, I have to take a look at how much he will have made for his career.
You want his career earnings?
Yeah, when this contract is over, I mean, he's got to be, my goodness, he's got to be over 200.
Oh, easy. Yes.
200, 250, quarter of $1 billion, then yes, I think it's absolutely fair because you have, like you said, a lot of documented evidence that you can just put out there and say, hey, here are the teams that win. The veteran quarterbacks that take a little bit of a pay cut to help their team out that are great, like you are. The big-time studs that you get in the draft, which we really don't have the availability to get unless we got really, really lucky in the draft. Now, you can get lucky in the draft because, look, the guys you just mentioned, Patrick Mahomes, He was available for just about everybody, right?
Right.
Aaron Rodgers was available for every single team in the NFL, basically.
Absolutely.
Except for like two or three.
Late first round, correct.
So, I mean, Russell Wilson was available for every team in the NFL 2.5 times. So you can get a stud franchise quarterback without a top five pick in the draft.
So according to SpotTrack.com, by the time this current contract is over, Russell Wilson will have made $231.3 million in his career.
Yes.
And hey, look, man, I'm not one to say, you know, don't make money. I mean, to each their own. But what's important to you? Mm-hmm. Because if you want to win a championship, the more money you make, the less those options will go down. So if you want to make money, and that's the most important thing to you and Sierra and Future Junior and the rest of your family, great. Have at it, man. I never want to stand in the way of somebody making money, ever. I don't care how much money you got, you have, you don't have. The more money all of us can make, go for it. I would never tell you otherwise. But you can't have your cake and eat it, too. And right. I think saying, I want to make as much money as I possibly can, and I want to have as great a shot of winning another Super Bowl and going down as one of the real elite quarterbacks in the NFL. I mean, dude, outside of Tom Brady, the list of quarterbacks in the modern era that have won multiple titles is slim. Slim.
Right.
I mean, dude, look at Breeze, right? Breeze wins it in 2009, spends 11 years chasing another one, never.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Even gets back.
Aaron Rodgers, same thing, man.
Decade. Wait in a decade. If he wins on Sunday, it'll be a 10-year wait before he gets back to a Super Bowl. And then he's got to win it, most likely against Kansas City, if they beat Buffalo over the weekend. So I think winning a Super Bowl is damn hard. And as I said yesterday on Twitter, if Russell Wilson even gets back to another one, that to me is a major accomplishment.
I agree, and I think it will be a huge topic of conversation. You better believe that Russell Wilson reads social media and listens to the chirps, because all the Seahawks do, or else we wouldn't have had Let Russ Cook, right? Let
Absolutely.
Russ Cook would not have existed had they not listened to social media. So I think social media and the broadcast media and the print media is going to be very loud as we get closer to Russell Wilson's extension about this exact topic. And you better believe there will be some feet to the fire for Russell Wilson to take a pay cut.
I told you guys last week that I listened to the entire hour-long Russell Wilson press conference with a billion cliches.
God bless you. Yeah. God bless you.
Mr. Unlimited.
Thanks to have Jackson on the show, man.
He was talking for a while about what it meant to be the greatest ever, like when he and DK talk about being the greatest tandem ever. And when he talked about what it means to him to be the greatest, he didn't talk about Super Bowls or statistics and all of this and all of that. He talked about making people better and the human element of playing quarterback for the Seahawks and in the NFL and
what
stuff.
What does that mean?
And exactly, because that's the point right here. If you aren't weighing being the best ever by winning and statistics and all that, how do you measure that?
I don't know how else you measure it besides mostly titles and titles that you were responsible for. I mean, we know this. If the Seahawks ever win a championship, like, we can debate and argue how influential he was in 2013, 2014. If they do it again, there's not going to be much of a debate about how influential Russell Wilson was when it came to meaning that they won a championship. So, yeah, I mean, to me, Dick, I'm with you. It's one of those off-season conversations. It's going to grow hotter and hotter and hotter. That is, you just simply put, making too much money for this team to compete and win a title. 413, Jason Lockenfora, CBS. We'll ask him that very question as well. Talk some NFL playoffs. Is there any chance Patrick Mahomes doesn't play? Come on Sunday versus Buffalo. Where's Deshaun Watson playing next year? All that and more. Jason Lockenfora, CBS, welcoming him back to the show next.
Casino.com.
Today, we honor Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
I have a dream.
Now back to Softie and Dick on Seattle Sports Radio 950, KJR.
All right, Robert Turbin, former Seahawk running back, going to join us in about an hour or so. Get his thoughts on what's happening over the Hawks over the offseason, find out what the hell he's doing. But joining us right now on the radio show, really, I think, the flag bearer for all NFL coverage for CBS. It's a big burden to handle, man. There's no question about it. You got to have thick skin. Our friend from CBS, been quite a while, Jason Lockenfora, joining us on the radio show. How the hell are you, man?
What's going on, gentlemen?
Not much, man. We're just sitting here watching everybody else in the conference finals for the seventh year in a row, getting kind of frustrated, man. I know it's tough. It's hard to win a championship. It's hard to make a run come playoff time, but it's going on 7 years now since that game against the Patriots, and Hawk fans are getting kind of antsy. What do you think?
Well, I think that's the league. You know, I think we're in this weird time where it's hard to step back and see things as they are sort of historically and what are the norms and what aren't. And we've got the dovetailing of this Tom Brady thing. That is, that's just a freakazoid, right? 14-2 in the division round. Yep. I mean, in the championship game, pretty much every year, it seems like, or every other year through an entire 20-year career. That's bonkers. So we got that going on. And we got this Mahomes thing starting where now he's in a, you know, he's hosting a championship game, assuming he plays in this game, for a third straight year and maybe on the verge of winning back-to-back Super Bowls, and he's, what, 25 years old. Yeah. That's not the norm either. And so you've got these two just historical anomalies, these two figures. One has already, you know, is at the tail end of a career no one could have ever foreseen. The other one, not just people like me, but people who did it at the highest level, the Kurt Warners of the world, you know what I mean, the Phil Simms of the world, all thinking this kid might be the best ever, and it's happening in real time, and they're two of the final four. I think it kind of throws us askew, like Dan Marino never got, you know, never won one, got there once, you know. Brett Favre played forever. He's got one ring. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, great as he is right now, he's got one ring. Peyton Manning was in Indianapolis for 15 years. He got one ring. Sean Payton, Drew Brees, what a historic combination of play caller, head coach, and quarterback. Both, you know, Hall of Famers. They've got one ring. 15 years. It's tough, man.
And yet Pete Carroll just keeps this team in the position to go deep into the playoffs. What people are frustrated in is that he hasn't gotten back to the deep run since the 2014 season. But I made this comment last week. I want to get, or last segment rather. I want to get your take on this. I didn't see a big talent difference between the Seahawks and what I saw play this weekend at all. I saw a scheme issue. I saw a preparation issue. And that's what cost, I think, the Seahawks more so than they just don't have as good of players as the teams that are still playing. What's your take on that?
I think that's probably fair. I mean, most of these games at this point, it's, I mean, it's a call or a non-call. You know what I mean? It's a drop. It's somebody making an amazing fingertip catch and somebody else having that similar catch, and then the ball, you know what I mean? Then your elbow hits the ground and you can't, you don't possess it all the way through. It's, it really, even in games that look at the, you look at the scoreboard and say, well, that couldn't have been all that close. Well, no, it really was. And then, you know what I mean? Somebody did this or they made this call. Somebody ran the wrong route and then it was a pick six and then everything changed. But up to that point, it was pretty much nip and tuck. You know, it seems like there is a sort of existential crisis there, or maybe there's no existential crisis at all. It appears like there may be because they've obviously, after a successful season, let go of a coordinator and are talking about offensive change. So you look at it at that level and say, okay, well, they're figuring out what they want to be. Except it sounds like the answer to the test before it's given is just run more, right? And run more vigorously and run a little differently, run more effectively, but more than anything else, run more. And maybe I'm reading it wrong, but that seems to be what's sort of emanating from there. And I don't know that that's going to necessarily solve this sort of conundrum you set up where, you know, they're good enough to seemingly get to a certain level, but haven't been over the hump for a while. I'm not sure that's going to be the extra nudge they need.
Well, you're not reading it wrong at all, because that's exactly what Carroll said. He said specifically, I want to run the ball more. So we'll see what happens. But Jason Lockenfora with us on the radio show, and they need an offensive coordinator who obviously will placate Pete Carroll's thirst, his hunger for more of a running attack, but they also have a $35 million quarterback that they have to take advantage of. So who fits that bill the best out there in your mind? Doug Peterson, Anthony Lynn.
I don't know
Adam
Gase.
That guy exists. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if you just want to run the ball as well as you possibly can, and you know what I mean, run a modern passing attack, but maybe not something that's at the vanguard of modern downfield passing, then I would say Anthony Lynn would be a perfect fit.
Do you have to run
There's a but there, though. He's not the guy you're talking about. I mean, you're obviously looking for somebody else in your mind, if you're Peter.
No, I don't. I mean, I don't have a dog in the fight. I mean, I'm trying to figure out what they're doing. And if the signals they're sending are accurate signals, then that reads to me like Anthony Lynn would be the perfect fit for what they're looking for. Now, I don't know if what they're looking for is going to solve their problems or not, but for what they're looking for, that sounds like Anthony Lynn.
Got it. Well, when Philadelphia won the Super Bowl, they ran it as much as anybody. It was just a different type of running the football. It was the RPO, but it worked. I mean, does Doug Peterson come in here and fit?
I don't see Doug Peterson. He's going to take this year off. I don't see Doug Peterson taking any OC job. And I mean, that's a tough one anyway. No, I don't see that.
Hmm. Well, I think that there's not a perfect fit out there. I think you're exactly right. But I also believe that this is a pretty damn important hire, right? I mean, Dick and I got into a debate last week about how important the offensive coordinator is. And if he's right that it's a scheme problem and not a talent problem, then a right OC could mean the difference between losing in the wild card round and making the conference championship. Yeah. I mean, you tell us just how important is this hire by the Seahawks right now?
Nice. I mean, there's no doubt about it. But, I mean, I think ultimately at the end of the day, that's why I go back and forth. It's an existential crisis, but it's not. Because I think Pete knows exactly what he wants him to be. I think he has a very defined vision of what Seahawks football is. And so it's my vision of offensive coordinator and their vision of offensive coordinator aren't the same thing, I don't think. I think his vision of offensive coordinator is just don't mess it up.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I agree.
Keep it simple, stupid. Yeah. Move the ball. Take the points when they're there.
Yeah.
We're not going to get cute with 2-point conversions. We're not going to get cute on third and short, right? It's play to minimize risk and win the game through running the ball and playing defense. So under that archetype, you could argue it's
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Not that important.
Does that work anymore? Because I agree with that archetype, but does it work anymore in 2021? Or is that a thing of the past?
They win 10 or 11 games every year. So it's not like, you know what I mean? It's not like it's crazy talk because you said it. They're in the equation every year.
Yeah.
I don't know. I want him to hire Brian Daboll 3 years ago. That's the guy I suggested.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he got a look.
Would Kafka, if he was not staying in Kansas City, I know that, but just come on. If he was not staying in Kansas City and he was available, would Kafka be a guy that you would endorse? Would that kind of hire young guy?
I would endorse him,
guy,
but if I'm him and I'm in the situation I'm in now,
right,
and I'm looking at that, I don't know that I want to be caught in the middle of the – I'm still only, 32 years old, and I'm going to be caught in the middle of a potential philosophical stare down between a $35 million quarterback and a coach who's done everything, won everything, been there, done that, who is basically telling you what he's looking for, which is, I mean, not that Kafka couldn't do that, but that's not sort of in line. His vision of what an offense coordinator does wouldn't be like checking the boxes that Pete seems to be wanting to check.
Yeah.
By the way, he's laid out what this job entails.
Well, that to me is a great point. It only took about 15 years, but you finally had one. It's a phenomenal point, Jason. I'll tell you why. Jason Lockenford, because we think here in Seattle, I think Dick and I do, and the fans do, that, hey, you got Russell Wilson, you got DK Metcalf, you got Tyler Lockett, you got, you know, some young backs, whatever. You got some young, nice, fresh offensive linemen. This is a pretty attractive job. Is it an attractive job? Is it really that attractive a job if all Pete Carroll is looking for is someone to come here and just run the ball? Why would a young, up-and-coming coach who desires to be a head coach want to go down this road when he can go down a different road?
Well, especially that one who's maybe going back to the Super Bowl again. So that road in particular, you're not going to divert off of. I have a hard time you selling me this as they're going to end up with, even if it's not going to be Kafka, but somebody else like that, because I think it'll probably be more like somebody who's done it before and kind of been there, done that, and is, you know, gets which way the wind's blowing is willing to blow in that direction.
Jason, did the Hawks improve their chances of winning the division again next year because of all that's going on with the Rams? I mean, Brandon Staley gone, taking his OC with him. Jared Goff, you know, is uncertain to be quarterback. Yeah. Are they in trouble?
Well, I mean, what Brandon Staley did to me was nothing short of incredible. And if, you know, you're asking me who I thought the best candidate was, of, you know, young guy, first timer, up and comer on that side of the ball. For me, it was Staley even more than Saleh. So yeah, I think that's a significant loss. I mean, they're still not in a tremendous cap and cash situation where they're going to be able to throw a whole bunch of money at problems. Scheme had to kind of be king, and it was. And there's other people who can run it, and you know that Vic Fangio wing of you know, younger guys who he's starting to sprout off of that Fangio family tree. There's other people who you can bring in who probably have the same philosophical understandings, but the fact that guy played quarterback, his perspective on it, I think he's really, really bright.
Yeah.
Doesn't take himself too seriously, was not one of these guys who was into having any sort of sideline persona, comfortable in his own skin, knows he might not be everybody's cup of tea, but players clearly relate to him. Sean McVay knows what he's looking for in coaches. He's obviously has an eye not just for what he does, but for people who think like he does, which has been a pretty effective way to think in this league. So, yeah, I think that's a significant loss, and they are seemingly at a bit of a crossroads.
Yeah.
Arizona, everybody's going into there next year looking over their shoulder because it better be a breakthrough year or hell's going to come. Nothing lasts forever, and you only get to hire so many coaches until you're part of the problem too, GM. And San Francisco doesn't know who their quarterback is either, and you know they're going to need a lot of guys coming back off of injury, having kind of seasons that you don't always get when guys come off of season-ending injuries together.
Right.
So, yeah, I think as much as we're sitting here talking about, you know, the angst involved in this hire, on the whole, I think they go into the off season with less real huge macro-level questions than a lot of these other teams in that division.
No question. Jason Lockenford of CBS. Who do you like this weekend? And more importantly, who do you like this weekend against the spread? I got to mention that.
I have not even looked. I have no idea what the spreads are.
Chiefs are given 3.5. Green Bay's given 3. Go.
Green Bay's given 3.
Mm-hmm.
I really wouldn't touch that game. Green Bay probably wins, but I have no idea right now, honestly. I think Buffalo can give Kansas City a game. I mean, I don't know who Kansas City's quarterback is yet, you know, so that's why I wouldn't be rushing to put any money on that just yet. I mean, a lot of us are assuming Patrick Mahomes is okay by the weekend, but probably won't be a normal week of practice for him. I have concerns about the state of their offensive line in Kansas City. I think the Buffalo Bills can beat them. If Mahomes is playing and you said 3, I would probably still take the Chiefs, but I think Buffalo will give them a game.
Well, they should, but I mean, hasn't Buffalo been outplayed in 3 of the 4 halves they've played in the playoffs thus far?
They haven't been great, but you show me the last time Kansas City played 60 minutes of good football.
Mm-hmm. The Jet game in like week 8.
You know, they've been dodging some bullets, and they've been looking like they're all cruise control and bored and, you know, just kind of like, ho-hum, let's get to the real stuff. They were lucky they didn't lose to the Browns. You know, they were one call away from that possibly being the case. So,
yeah.
I don't know, man. I think there's a little something with the Bills. I think they're not playing great. There's a lot of things that aren't going well, but now I think they're going to have a lot of confidence coming off of what they just did to Baltimore on the defensive side of the ball. And I thought they've underachieved on that side of the ball for a while this year. But I think they'll be up for this challenge. You know, and when Josh Allen is right, and he's been right a lot this year, mm-hmm. they can score very quickly on that side of the ball. We haven't seen it the last few weeks. He's been content to take what they give. But, yeah, I don't think there's a huge difference between those teams. I don't.
Yeah, I don't think anything would surprise me this weekend. I mean, how could it? Three and a half, 3-point spread. I mean,
right.
Vegas is telling you all four teams have a shot to get to Tampa. Hey, Jason, before you go, Jason Lockenfora with us. Where does Deshaun Watson play football next year? What's your gut tell you? Houston. He's in Houston, okay?
I think so. If they hire Leslie Frazier as their head coach, I think Leslie Frazier's more than equipped. Handle that situation.
Gotcha.
If they go in some other direction, I don't know.
Great stuff, dude. Always fun to catch up. I know it's late out there. It's almost getting to be bedtime, pushing 8 o'clock in Baltimore. So best to the family. Get some shut-eye, man.
Shut her down, yeah.
Absolutely. Shut her down, hunker down, and we'll talk soon, man. Thanks, boss.
All right. Have a good one, guys. Always good to hear from you.
You got it, man. You bet. Bye. Jason Lockenfora from CBS. And I don't know. I mean, to me, it's just kind of a fascinating point because I don't know how attractive Pete Carroll is making this job for potential candidates out there. Right? Like if you're a young guy like a McDaniel or a Kafka or whoever, you know, mid-30s, and you want to be a head coach and you have aspirations to be a head coach, and you talk to Pete Carroll and he says, hey, look, we're just looking for someone to come in here and dominate this run scheme and, you know, give us, you know, a real running attack and complement it with Russell Wilson. Is that the path that most young coaches think they can take to be a head man? I don't know what Carroll's offering. I don't know what Carroll's vision is. It's easy for us to think he just wants to run the ball because that's what he said, right? But Pete Carroll often says things that don't come to fruition, right? He often leads us down a road publicly and then takes us down a different one when the game starts on a Sunday afternoon. So how attractive is this job?
I'm kind of surprised that Pete didn't just focus on the Rams game and say we needed to run the ball more and better in that game.
Right.
versus saying we need to run the ball more and better in the future, because like you said, that could very well close doors on some potential offensive coordinators if he does in fact feel that way. And why shouldn't we believe that he feels that way? I mean, that's kind of been his MO since he's been here.
Well, it's gotten him his greatest success, right?
Absolutely.
But it's also gotten him his greatest success when he has that elite-level defense, which he doesn't have right now. He's got a very good defense, but not elite. I don't think anybody in the NFL is elite. Hell, we said this going into the playoffs, man.
No elite
Look
defense.
What the Packers did to the Rams over the weekend. You tell me that was an elite defense? I mean, the Rams are kind of a fraud, I think, on defense, which even makes the loss to the Rams, from our perspective, even tougher to take. That was not a great defense. It was great compared to the rest of the teams in 2020.
We played into their hands.
But what the
we
hell does that mean?
We allowed them to do exactly what they're good at. That's drop back passing, and they get after your quarterback.
All right, 440. Is there any concern out there, guys, about Russell Wilson just simply put as making too much money for the Seahawks football team to ever win another championship? The touchback controversy over the weekend with the fumble out of the back of the end zone. We did a poll on Twitter asking folks if that should have been a turnover and the ball should have gone back to the Chiefs in that game.
Update on the poll.
We'll update that and get your thoughts. Do you like that call? Do you like it? When an offensive player fumbles the ball to the back of the end zone, the ball goes back to the opposing team. Do you like that? Or is it time to change that? 441-49451 on the Coors Light text line coming up.
Staples. Coming to you live from the Elliott Avenue studios of Sports Radio 950 KJR. This is Textimonials.
LOL, semicolon, parentheses.
Take it away, Dave Softy Mahler.
And
Dick Fame.
Where do we all stand on the touchback rule? Good rule, bad rule that we saw in the Brown Chief game yesterday.
Terrible.
Dick?
Should have been terrible.
Terrible.
Ago.
Jackson, bad. Your thoughts on that bad rule? Okay, bad. We are 3 for 3 on that. So I know there's folks on this radio station that come before us that don't agree, and those folks are wrong, and we are right. So just remember that when you hear somebody else's opinion on the topic outside of 3 to 7 on KJR.
Is it the 10 to 1 show?
Kind of rhymes with that, I guess. Okay. Rhymes right. with
well,
duck and pick.
Well, then I'm more convinced we're right.
Yeah, totally. I mean, all you have to do to endorse your own opinion, just go listen to 10 to 1 every single day. I'm kidding. I'm half kidding. Not really. All right, 49451, Coors Light text line, all brought to you by our friends at hammerandnail.build.
F you, Puckett.
Here we go, baby. What do you got?
Love the rule that helped KC get the win. Consequences for actions do exist.
Yeah. You know, I think here's the deal. I wonder, and Millen used this word, is it too punitive? Is it too strong a punishment? Does the punishment fit the crime? When a guy fumbles the ball out of the back of the end zone, should that result in the opposing team getting the football? I mean, there's no bigger punishment in the NFL, outside of losing a game, than the other team gaining possession of the
Correct.
Ball. You can fumble the ball out of your own 1 yard line. But if you do it 6 inches further
right.
across the goal line out of bounds, the opposing team gets the ball. Is it too strong? Does the punishment fit the crime? That's
absolutely
the question.
Not, because you've actually done a better job at, as Hank Stram would say, matriculating the ball down the field.
Yes.
So if you don't do as good a job and you only get to the 40-yard line and fumble it out of bounds, then you just get it back. But
right,
if you do
right.
a great job and
right.
and get the ball all the way down to the 1 foot line and then fumble it out of the end zone, then you lose the football. That makes no sense whatsoever.
Well, and the defense doesn't even have to recover the ball. All
right.
the defense has to do is stand there and watch the ball trickle, 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 as you said, matriculate down the field, out of bounds, out of the end zone, and guess what? They get the ball for doing nothing. They didn't recover the damn ball. Normally, when there's a change of possession, the defense has to actually recover the ball.
Or,
in this case, they don't.
Or in KJ Wright's sense, to push the ball out of bounds.
I don't get it.
And it was a stupid call when Earl Thomas batted the ball out of Todd yeah. Gurley's hands and the Seahawks yeah. got the benefit. It was a stupid call when Bobby, was it Bobby Wagner that punched it out of the out of Calvin Johnson in the playoffs hands?
Yes. Earl Cam Thomas Chancellor. Against the Rams as well, right?
It was a stupid yeah. call then.
Yeah.
It's a stupid call now.
It's
just because it
savage.
Benefits the Seahawks doesn't mean it's not stupid.
Punishment doesn't fit the crime. Change the damn thing, but they won't, though. I guarantee you they won't. All right, what's next?
Wilson is a cancer on the team Ooh. In the sense that with his contract, we will never win for a long time.
Okay, let me ask you a question. So after the 37-point outburst against the Niners the week before the Buffalo game,
uh-huh.
if you would have gone to Vegas that night and said, what kind of odds can I get? And somebody texting the Softy and Dick show and using the word cancer in the same sentence as Russell Wilson.
God, I love
what would the sense. Odds have been that night?
Mr. Unlimited.
I mean, they would have been off the board. There's no
that's
way.
That's Seahawks Twitter in text form right
oh,
there.
There's no way.
When you're on Easter weekend, your wife is over here braiding your hair.
He's a cancer. He's a cancer. All right, what's next?
I don't know what you guys are complaining about.
Oh.
According to Pete Carroll, this was a successful year.
He said it was excellent.
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 Yeah,
excellent, excellent. 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 Well, I don't agree with that. I don't think you agree with that. I don't think anybody who's not Pete Carroll does not agree with that. And I just think that there are times. I love Pete to death for what he's done with the Seahawks. He's the greatest professional head coach in the history of our town. He deserves a spot on Mount Rushmore. Just like you love your kids, I love my wife, I love my producer, I love my co-host, I love my friends. Every now and then, all of them will sound like morons.
Mm-hmm.
And every now and then, Pete Carroll will say something that makes them sound like a moron. And that's it, right there. Nobody's perfect, man. And that's proof positive, baby.
If we want to put this season in two separate boxes,
yeah.
the 12-4 division championship box
yeah.
and the 0-1 playoff debacle box,
yes.
then I can roll with him saying that box number one was excellent. Because when you go 12-4 and win the division, that is an excellent season by anybody's standards. But if you only have one box
yeah.
and you have to taint that first box with the crap that you threw out last week, then you cannot use the word excellent.
When the Sonics lost to Denver with the best record in the NBA regular season, did they have an excellent season?
No, they had an excellent regular
okay.
season.
Did Virginia have an excellent season when they lost to Maryland, Baltimore County in the first
yeah,
round of the NFL?
Regular season.
I mean, get the hell.
Softy is an idiot.
452, what's next?
Any chance we can get Jerami Bates back?
Ooh. What's Jeremy Bates doing right
now?
What
is he doing?
Well, Jeremy Bates was Pete Carroll's first offensive coordinator back in 2010. He was with the Jets last year. No, I'm sorry. He was the quarterback's coach of the Chicago Bears. You want that guy on this football? Maybe Pete Carroll does. Maybe Pete hires Jeremy Bates
in December
and says, actually, wait a minute, timeout. I'm sorry. He was the quarterback coach of the Jets. He was the offensive coordinator, but that was in 2018. He hasn't had a job in the NFL in 2 years. So maybe Pete Carroll looks at Jeremy Bates and says, hey, we don't want you to do anything with Russell. All we need you to do is come here and just call run plays. So you take the job. I mean, honestly, why doesn't Pete Carroll just call the offense? Why would Pete Carroll not just call the offense? If that's really what he's looking for, then what's the point in going out and hiring an offensive coordinator? Why even tease Russell?
Is Pete qualified to call an offense at the NFL level?
Yeah, I think he can call a run-heavy offense, totally. Don't you think? I mean, if Pete Carroll is a great defensive mind, which I think he is, then Pete Carroll should be able to identify what run plays would work the best against the opposing team's defense.
Well, yeah, but Pete Carroll is a defensive coordinator that became a head coach. You wouldn't ask any other defensive coordinator to call plays.
But if your offensive coordinator is not going to throw the ball and your offensive coordinator is not going to make Russell Wilson a better quarterback, then why not just make Russell Wilson the passing game coordinator and Pete Carroll's a run game coordinator? You'd be done with it.
But Russell Wilson was a better quarterback when they were running the ball. That's Pete's whole point.
Well, I'm being half sarcastic here.
Right. Okay. Right. I understand that. But I'm just,
Hang with me here for
a second.
I don't
disagree with what Pete is saying.
Yeah.
I just think there are more creative ways and creative formations and motions that you can use to make the offense harder to defend.
I think that if you really want to go down that road and you really want to be a run-heavy offense with run schemes that are really difficult to defend, then yeah, you should go out and get that guy.
Yes.
But then I would wonder, why are we paying DK Metcalf $28 million when his contract comes up? And why is Russell Wilson, likely in his next deal, going to make $40 million? I mean, you can't even win with a guy making $40 million anyway because the salary cap hit is too much. Why would you even waste it when you're not even going to use it? I mean, dude, this is like me getting a brand new Ferrari and saying, hey, come on over, but you can't touch it. Just look. Just stand there and look.
But I think that
how attractive is that job really to a young offensive coordinator? Maybe Jason's right that an Anthony Lynn is the best guy for the job.
Maybe so. I just have not seen Russell Wilson ever succeed to his utmost level when he's been in a pass-first situation. Never.
I am looking at the final four teams in the National Football League, which are Kansas City, number 3 in pass attempts. The Buffalo Bills are number 11 in pass attempts. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are number 6 in pass attempts. And the Green Bay Packers are... Where are the Packers in pass attempts? Are they in the top 10, top 15 in the National Football League? They have to be. 3 of the 4 left are in the top 11 in pass attempts in the NFL.
Oh, but wait a second. You're telling me that Aaron Rodgers isn't being used to his utmost ability because they're not in the top half in pass attempts.
No, they are. No, they're down the list, but they're really good running the game. I mean, they are great at everything they do. There's no question about that.
Here's the thing. What does Seattle have that Green Bay has that the other guys don't? That's a big-time running back. Chris Carson is of Aaron Jones's level. Yeah, if you used him like that, the other teams don't have running backs.
Probably a better offensive line.
Zach Moss, Devin Singletary? Yeah. I mean, you're going to rely on those guys when you have Josh Allen?
Probably a better offensive line. I don't care what PFF says. I don't think the Hawks offensive line
Hawks offensive line was as good as it's been in 5 or 6 years.
Well, but what does that mean? I mean, as good as it's been, so what? You're looking for an elite-level offensive line. I mean, dude, I could go out and fire a 98 on the golf course and say, that's my best score in 5 years. But guess what? I still suck. What are we looking for? Are we comparing the offensive line to ourselves or what it takes to take that next step?
There is no reason that Russell Wilson shouldn't be able to succeed with the 14th best offensive line, which is where PFF had him graded this year.
Again, that's by their metrics. And okay, I asked you earlier, did you see an offensive line against the Rams that was good enough to make a real difference in the playoffs?
I saw an offensive line that for every game other than the Rams game, the 3 Rams games and the Bills game, so 12 games out of 16, that I could look at that team and go, you know what? That offensive line is doing their job.
Yeah, all right. Well, that's the regular season, though. I mean, again, I'm not seeing what you're seeing. I saw an offensive line that was physically dominated. by the Rams' defensive front in that playoff game. That's what my eyes showed me.
I agree with you. And the reason why is because they pinned their ears back and knew exactly what Seattle was going to do, because Seattle never threw quick passes and never established the run.
Yeah. Well, I still think it needs a major talent upgrade there. 458. We'll get a break. Robert Turbo. We'll ask Turbo at 520 what he thinks on Softy.
Hey, guys. It is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun, too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun, Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.